kings and prophets in our Sunday school lesson. And we're going to read about one of the kings, just a couple of verses. 2 Chronicles, it's Old Testament, one of the books of the kings. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and we're going to read verse number 1 and verse number 2, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 2 Give you just a moment to find it. And we're going to turn a few different places today, but we're going to start here in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 25, verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible said, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for letting us be here today, and I thank you for the good singing, the good Sunday school time we've already had. Lord, we pray for your help today. We have a lot of things that's been mentioned, a lot of things upon our hearts, people that are sick, people that have major trouble going on in their lives. Lord, we pray for them. Lord, you know each and every object that's already been mentioned, each and every situation. And Lord, we pray you'd be with those, Lord, that were mentioned already today. We pray for those that haven't been mentioned. But dear Lord, as we come today, I ask that you'd speak to our hearts from your word. I pray that you'd give liberty and freedom of thought. Lord, I pray that you would just have your way and speak to our hearts. And I really mean that this morning, not just saying it out of, that's what we always say, but I pray that you would speak to our hearts and have your way in our midst, and we'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read verse number 2 one more time. That's where we're going to take our message from today. But the Bible said about King Amaziah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now we read here about King Amaziah, and he's not one of the more famous kings. In fact, you'd have to do some studying to learn very much about his life. But we find out here in the Word of God that, you know, some things we could say about him. He reigned 29 years. That's a pretty good record. I mean, most people get close to retirement in doing something for 29 years. He started when he was 25 years old, but what I want us to notice in verse number 2, and this is an interesting verse, and it's worth thinking about and pondering on today, that the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and I've got this underlined, the Bible says, but not with a perfect heart. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. I want to try to preach on the subject today of there is a difference, or thinking along those lines, there's a difference between just doing right and doing right with a perfect heart. I mean, we read it right here in the Bible. It says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, we might ask ourselves a question, isn't that enough? I mean, the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He believed right. He lived right. He served right. He worshiped right. He reigned right. The Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not just how the opinion poll of the day was, not that he was a popular king in the eyes of the people, but in the sight of the Lord. The Bible said that he did that which was right. This is just one of the many places in the Bible that we learn that along with doing right, God is also interested in the heart. Not just doing right, period, but God also is interested in our heart condition and how we do things. If just doing right was all that mattered, then King Amaziah could have been the standard by which all other kings were measured. They could just look at Amaziah and say 29 years he did right, and this is what we're going to measure by. But you know, in the Bible, King Amaziah is not the king by which all other kings were measured. In the Bible, the king by which all the other kings were measured is a king that did not always do right in the sight of the Lord. And the king I'm talking about was King David. And David, I mean, in one chapter, he broke three of the Ten Commandments. 1 Samuel chapter number 11, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. He broke three in one chapter, not to mention the other times that King David messed up. But here's what the Bible says more than one time. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 4, it's talking about Solomon, David's son. And it said when Solomon was old, or it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. All of the other kings of Israel were measured against David. And the Bible says it was David's heart that was perfect in the sight of the Lord. Now, how is it that Amaziah could do right and be wrong, and David could do wrong and be right? It's because David had a perfect heart. He didn't always do right in the sight of the Lord, but David, unlike King Amaziah, he had a perfect heart towards the Lord. There's a difference today between just doing right and doing right with a perfect heart. And that's what I want to try to preach on, is the difference between the two. There's some things, if we're going to serve the Lord and live for God with a perfect heart, there's some things that we need to realize that there's a difference between. Number one, there's a difference between the flesh and the spirit. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Just sort of keep your place there. We'll come back to it, but we're going to look at some different scripture today. Romans chapter number 7. All through the Bible, you find that there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote about it, and he recognized it. He evidently struggled with it. Romans chapter 7, I'm just going to read some verses, beginning in Romans chapter 7 in verse number 18, where Paul is over here and he's talking about the flesh and the spirit and the difference between the two. And the Bible said in Romans 7 in verse 18, Paul said, "For I know that in me," and here's the parentheses, when he's talking about in me, he said, that is in my flesh. And when we're talking about our flesh in the Bible, we're talking about the meat part. This is the part that's not saved. The part you see standing before you today, my flesh, is the part that is not going to go to heaven. It's the part that when we die is going to be buried in the ground, our flesh. We are made up of flesh. And Paul said, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." Now he had a desire to, a will to. "To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man," that's the saved part, that's the spirit part of us. And so he recognizes that he has two different natures in him that's pulling one way and one another. He said in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members," that's his flesh he's talking about, "warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Finally, he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now look at chapter 8, verse 1. "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now that's a lot of scripture reading. But what Paul is talking about there is this struggle that all of us that are children of God, that we deal with in this life, there's a part of us that wants to do right but doesn't do right. There's a part of us that wants to serve God, but there's a pull that doesn't want to serve God. And so there's this war going on in us. This war between the pull of the flesh and the pull of the Spirit of God. And it is a very real struggle in our lives. Paul wrote about this. And Paul, one of the greatest saints of all time, recognizes and acknowledges the inward battle between the Spirit and the outward battle between the pull of the flesh. Your number one enemy against serving God and doing right is not the devil. It's that man or that woman you see in the mirror every day when you get up. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" He's talking about the fleshly desire. The pull of the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Now, flesh can do some things. Flesh can be religious, but flesh can never be spiritual. And there's a big difference between those two things. Flesh will go to church to be seen, to be heard, but flesh will never go to church to listen to the Spirit of God and worship in spirit and in truth. Flesh will never do that. When Jesus said in John 4:24, "They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." You can't worship the Lord in flesh. It's a spirit thing. It's our heart right with God, communicating, loving, worshiping Him. Flesh can stand and be proud, but it can never bow down and be humble. The Pharisees in the Bible were religious, but they were motivated by pride and by flesh. The Bible talks about how that the Pharisees, they loved to stand on the corner of the streets. And they loved to pray aloud these long, wordy prayers. And the Bible says that they loved to do that, that they may be seen of men. They wanted to be read. That's flesh. That's flesh that wants to appear religious and act religious and wants to be heard and wants to be seen. That is a fleshly thing. That is not pleasing to the Lord. The disciples, on the other hand, do you know, they could be both. They could be so fleshly sometimes that you wonder if they even knew the Lord, and they could be so spiritual sometimes that it was amazing. You remember over there where the Lord said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter made that great confession before the Lord, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's the most spiritual, godly thing that ever came out of Peter's mouth. Man, he could be spiritual sometimes. But he could also say some of the dumbest, offhandest things that ever was. The disciples could be very spiritual, and then on the other hand, they could run off little children from seeing the Lord Jesus. You know, we've been studying about that on Wednesday night. They rebuked the people that brought the children to the Lord. I mean, how unspiritual is that? John and some of the others, you know, they saw a fellow that was not with them, and they rebuked him, and they said, "Lord, he was not with us. Do you want us to call fire down out of heaven?" I mean, they could do some of the, they could be very spiritual, and they could be very fleshly. And that's the struggle that we have in our lives. And you have to recognize that as a child of God. Your flesh does not want to do anything spiritual whatsoever. Your flesh doesn't want to come to church. Your flesh doesn't want to pray. Your flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. That's how old flesh is. It's a battle all the time. All the time. And you'll never get so old in this life that you'll not have to deal with the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Paul cried out and he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" People have tried all kinds of things to subdue and to get rid of the desire and the pull of the flesh. Some people say, "Well, I'll go up on a mountain and live apart from everybody else, and I'll just live in a monastery or be a monk, and I won't be around." But you know what? They still have to deal with this flesh. And there's been people all down through the centuries that have tried all kinds of crazy things, tried to punish themselves and beat themselves and torture themselves. Old flesh is still there when they get up the next morning. It's going to be a struggle. And Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And the answer to that, you're never going to get rid of the flesh. You got to recognize that. What we have to do is recognize that we must walk not in the power of the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit. That's what he goes on and deals with in Romans chapter 8 verse 1. "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." That's with a capital S. That's talking about being controlled and motivated and moved by the Spirit of God. There's a difference between the two. There's a difference between the flesh and the Spirit. And if you'll recognize that, that'll help you in your Christian life. Number two today, there's a difference between devotion and motion. Just going through the motions. Look at Luke chapter number 21. I want to read a few verses over there. There's a difference between devotion and just motion. Just going through the motions. And we read and study about different examples we could bring out in the Bible. But we're going to read in Luke chapter number 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Some people are devoted and some people just go through the motions. And we find both groups here in Luke chapter number 21. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 4. The Bible said, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites," that's two pennies. Verse 3, "And he said, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury," that means extreme poverty, "hath cast in all the living that she had." Now in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter number 21, all were giving something. If that's all that mattered was just giving something, then the Lord Jesus wouldn't have commented one way or the other. The Bible said the rich men were casting in, and this woman was in line, and she put something in the plate. And if it didn't matter but just to give something, but the Lord said to the disciples, "Hey, fellas, I want you to notice something. This woman that cast in two mites, she put in more than everybody else. She put in two pennies. Some of them brought and they put in the offering. No doubt they had it in a little bag. When they threw it into the treasury, it made a heavy clunking sound. But hers went ding, ding." And the Lord said, "She put in more than all the rest of them fellows. And no doubt one of the disciples probably said, Lord, I don't know where you bank at, but you better hope they're honest. That the Lord said she gave more than all the rest of them did. That's what we find here in this passage of Scripture. She gave out of devotion. The word devotion means the state of being dedicated, the state of being set apart. These rich men that were casting their offering in were just simply going through the motions. It didn't mean anything to them. It really didn't cost them anything to them. It was just a tax write-off to them. They wanted everybody else to see how much they were putting in. Maybe they would get some favor from the high priest. Maybe it made them look good. I don't know. But now when she gave it all. That's devotion. That's the difference. It really doesn't have anything to do at all with how much anybody gave. What the Lord Jesus was drawing attention to was that she gave all because she cast in all of her living. He was drawing attention to her heart. And that she had enough faith and love towards the Lord that she was giving more than they all is what the Bible says. That's devotion. I read over in John chapter number 12, just a few days before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. And they had a supper at Bethany. And the Bible said that Mary came and she had a pound of ointment. And she took that ointment and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. They were all just going through the motions of a supper. But devotion happened. And it changed the whole thing. When she anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus with that very costly spikenard, the Bible said that the odor of that filled the whole room. And it made the devil mad. Judas said, "What waste is this? This could have been sold and given to the poor." And the Bible said that he said that not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He thought we could have sold that and I could have kept a bunch of it for myself. It didn't matter anything to him. But she did that out of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. She did that because she loved him. She wanted to express that to her. And she didn't care what anybody else thought about it. Devotion is different from just going through the motions of things. I think many times we come to church and we're guilty of just going through the motions. But we're not really putting much devotion into it. You know, we live in a day and time people want new songs, different songs. We got to bring the beat of the world into the church and have a rock band and all that kinds of stuff. Do you know what's wrong with our music and our songs? We just don't listen. We know them so well that we can sing it without paying any attention at all. But the spiritual songs are to be sung with our heart. And if we would just come and sing and listen to the words sometimes, do you ever catch yourself? You're not listening. You can be singing in the choir, and I'm not throwing off on the choir. You can be singing out in the congregation, and you can get done. You have no more idea what you've been singing about than the man on the moon. That's just motion. That's just coming to church, getting it done, getting on to something else, but we've not put our heart into it. We've not put any thought into it. We've not put any preparation before we come to church into it, and we wonder when we go away sometimes, why the preacher was so dry. Why we didn't get anything out of it. If we'd just listen. If we'd just listen to what we were singing about. I was sitting down there this morning. I was singing about preaching. I'm thinking about funeral this afternoon. I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to announce. I'm thinking about I really want God to speak to our hearts. And I'm praying. I said, Lord, help me. Help. I got to have some help this morning. And the choir was singing a song about just trust in the Lord. And I just happened to hear just a little bit what I was sitting there singing about. And I thought, that the Lord's going to handle it. Why can't I just do what this song says? And He'll give life and peace and rest. And He'll get honor and He'll get glory. And it'll be all right. And He was giving me what I needed, but I was too worried about what's going on. Do you ever do that? You come to church and you're thinking about, well, you know, we got to do this and got to do that and got to hurry through and tomorrow and the next day and all this kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, we're guilty of just going through the motion. We're not listening. We're not paying attention. But it makes a difference in worship. If we come with devotion, it makes a difference in your service to the Lord, in your desire. Amaziah, King Amaziah in the Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. If we studied about King Amaziah, I think what we would find is that all them 29 years, just going through the motions, just getting it done. David, on the other hand, read the book of Psalms. If you don't think that David was devoted to what he was doing, yeah, he wasn't perfect. And he messed up a lot of times. But David had a desire in his heart. He really wanted to please God. Yeah, I messed up. Lord, I have sinned. David would come and say, Lord, I'm wrong. Yeah, he messed up. But his heart. He had a devotional heart. He had a dedicated heart. He had a heart that, although he done wrong in the flesh, but he did want to do right. There's a difference between the two. There's a difference between just motions and devotion. Number three, there's a difference between attitude and gratitude. There's a difference between attitude and gratitude. David, one of the Psalms of David, Psalms 122, verse 1. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then he goes on down and he talks about what was going on in the house of the Lord. And he said, when we get to the house of the Lord, we're going to thank Him. And when we get to the house of the Lord, we're going to praise Him for all that He's done. And so he said, I was glad. Was you glad when you thought about coming to the house of the Lord today? I mean, really? Or did you just come because that's what you always do? Sometimes we're guilty of that. Now, did you come because maybe it'd been a while and you felt guilty? Did you come because, you know, if you didn't, somebody's going to call and check on you? Did you come because, why'd you come? David said, boy, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Look at Psalms chapter number 84. There's all kinds of examples. The book of Psalms chapter number 84. I was reading about this and studying about it. I was glad. That means to be happy. That means to be thrilled. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms chapter number 84 and verse number 1. The Bible said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. That just means when he thought about going to the house of God, how beautiful it was. It just thrilled his heart. Verse 2, he said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He said, boy, I want to go to the house of God more than I want to eat. I need it. I need it. My heart and my soul's crying out. He said in verse number 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. So we're going to go to the house of God and we're going to be blessed. And we're going to praise the Lord. In verse number 10 he said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That meant that he would rather go to church and stand at the door and open when people came in than he would to go to a NASCAR race and be in the infield under the tents. Isn't that what that said? He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I want that more than anything else. Somebody was talking about preachers preaching a long message. I don't think I preach a long message. I don't think you ought to preach a long message if people won't even listen to a short message. I preach short messages. And if you don't think I do, you've not heard much preaching because they some long messages. There's a difference between attitude and gratitude. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, here's one out of the New Testament. It's talking over there about offerings again. And it says over there, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. When the offering plate was passed by this morning, I wonder how many had what could be characterized as a cheerful giver. That means when we give, we ought to say, thank you, Lord, that I'm able to do anything. I've heard preachers preach on that, and it's hard to preach on, say anything about money. Because if you do, somebody goes away and says, all that preacher ever talks about is money. But that's not what I'm preaching about today. But I've heard people say, the Lord loves the cheerful giver, but all the checks cash the same. They all spend the same. Meaning, if you're not a cheerful giver, just give anyway. We'll still pay the light bill. And they might spend the same, but I guarantee you, they gain no interest in heaven's bank. So if you're not a cheerful giver, you might as well just keep it. Because God doesn't need our money. God's not up in heaven scratching his head and saying, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That means nothing to the Lord. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be involved in the work of the Lord. I was preaching last Wednesday night about the rich young ruler. Out of Mark chapter number 10. And I come across something after Wednesday night that I didn't notice. But what I came across was actually in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. And that's where the young man came and he said, what do I do to obtain eternal life? He wanted to know how to get saved. But he had something between him and the Lord, and that was all the possessions that he had. He had all this money, and so the first thing the Lord told him was to go and sell what you have. Then come and take up the cross and follow me. But the Bible said he went away sad because he had great possessions. But I was studying over that again, and it said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. I didn't see that Wednesday night. But he said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Just because you give doesn't mean you're getting treasure in heaven. It's when we give and serve with a perfect heart. And that doesn't mean to be a perfect person, but the perfect heart is the heart that really desires above all things to really please the Lord. And really want to serve him. We're not perfect people. We all fail and mess up. Does anyone think this morning that it really blesses the Lord's heart if we just come and sing and come to church and give or whatever you do? If you just do that out of, well, I just feel obligated, you really think that blesses the Lord? Would anybody want to go pay money to watch a ball team play and the players didn't really act like they wanted to be there? What if you paid big money and drove down to Atlanta and got tickets to see a ball game and the star pitcher gets out there and just flounders around and throws his glove down and throws his hands up and pitches two or three batters and they take him out. And you'd come home and you'd say, he didn't even want to be there. We spent all that time, all that effort. You wouldn't enjoy that. You ever went to watch somebody and that's how they acted? You ever went to hear somebody sing and they acted like they, you're there. So why would we think it blesses the Lord for us to come to church and somebody say, come on up in the choir and sing. No, I don't want to. Come on. And you have to be drug up there to sing and praise his name. Think that'd be a blessing to the Lord? I'm sure that it wouldn't. There's a difference between attitude and gratitude. I was coaching baseball years ago, and my star player, the best little player I had on the whole team, I really needed this young man. We'd played, it wasn't the second inning. And you know, as a coach, a little league coach, there's a lot of pressure. You gotta want to let everybody play, and it's not all just about winning, but man, I really wanted to win. My star player comes up to me and he says, Coach, do I have to go back out there and play? I thought, my goodness, what's wrong? I said, no, sir, you sure don't. If you don't want to play, buddy, I ain't begging you to play. Take that stuff off, sit on the bench. This boy couldn't catch a watermelon, but he's going in your place. He wants to play. Praise God, I'd rather see somebody that wants to be there and wants to play and wants to serve than I would try to beg and pull something out of somebody that was talented and could. If you don't want to, don't worry. God's not sweating it. He'll get somebody else. But you're really missing a blessing. It's a great day in my Christian life, in my ministry, when I realized that I don't have to. I get to. If you get to going along in church and service and you get to feeling like, boy, I got to do this and I got to do that, you might as well just call it a job, because that's what you've got. It's a job. You need to quit your job and get in the ministry. You need to quit that I have to. You don't have to. Somebody else will come along. It doesn't all depend upon you. It doesn't all depend upon me. Boy, I get to do what I do. And I'm thankful for it. I get to preach. I get to serve the Lord and be on the radio and teach these young men in Bible college. And I get to be involved. There's a difference between just the attitude, well, I got to do this. I get to. In the Bible, God places the emphasis upon the get to. I get to. I want to. If you don't feel that way, then you might as well go out and take pictures of buffalo. If coming to church and serving the Lord and doing something for God is a burden to you and depresses you and just stresses you out and you don't enjoy it, you might as well just stay at home and spend all that time on Facebook. Just stay on your phone. Might as well go to the NASCAR race and dwell in the tents of wickedness. Hey, you get to. It ought to thrill you. You get to serve the Lord. Get to do something for Him. Get to give a little bit so that somebody somewhere can receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. And we ought to be thankful for it. David said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And one last thing I'll show you this morning. There's a difference between willing and calling. Look in Acts chapter number 6. In Acts chapter number 6, we're just going to read a couple of verses, four verses there. There's a difference between willing, being willing to do something, and being called to do something. Now, as a pastor, while you're turning there, I appreciate willing. You got to have willing. It's good to have somebody that's willing to do something. Maybe they're not called to do it, but you need some help. And somebody say, well, I'm willing to do that. Thank the Lord. Acts chapter number 6, verse number 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The church had grown so large, so quick, that the disciples couldn't handle it. They were willing to, but they were not called to. They said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They had been so overwhelmed by the growth of the church that it was pulling them away from prayer and the ministry of the word. That's what they were called to do. They were willing to serve tables, but they were called to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. Ministry can function with people that are willing, but it flourishes when we fulfill our calling. Not everybody's called to preach, but I do believe everybody's called to do something. You need to find that something that God has called you to do. And when we all find our calling in the ministry and we find that little niche that God has got for us, then the ministry will flourish. It will grow. Not everybody can. Here's a blessing. Not everybody can do everything. Not everybody's called to do everything. But we're all called to do something. And I appreciate people that are willing. You ought to be willing. Sometimes you just need some help. I remember when I was playing baseball one time, and you know how it is, sometimes all your pitchers is pitched and they just start looking around for somebody. I was willing to try it. And they put me out there on the mound, and I thought, this is going to be the funniest thing. Man, I hit the first batter. I hit the second batter. I hit the umpire. I was willing, but it wasn't my calling. So my pitching career was real short. That wasn't where I flourished at. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes someone might say, I'll lead the singing if nobody else can. But it's not your calling. But boy, when we find our calling, what God's called us to do, and we do that. I was talking with Preacher Gary Shue the other day at the Vanderpool had the get-together for the preachers, and I hadn't talked with Brother Gary for years, but he's pastor out at First Independent, and he's got the horse-drawn hearse. And when Mr. Ivy was buried, that's who came and done that, Brother Gary. And he was telling me how God gave him that. And I've known Brother Gary for years and years, and he's always loved messing with mules and horses, and it's just something he loves to do. And isn't God good that God put him doing that and not me? I'd be willing to give it a try, but it's not in my heart. But he loves messing with stuff like that. And he was telling me how God gave him that hearse. And those big horses and that rig to pull that around and how he gets to serve and minister to people. Isn't that a blessing? He found his calling and he's busy doing his calling, and God's got something for all of us. Even if it's fixing a Subaru. I've been thoroughly blessed by Brother Rodney's call. He knows how to mess with that stuff because I don't. God will put you in something and he'll make you happy. He'll thrill you to death. I get to do something I love to do and serve the Lord while I'm doing it. Man, there's nothing better in the whole world than that. This is my calling in life. That's what God wants me to do. I don't care if it's driving a nail. If you will give it to the Lord, He will make you happy in it. He will bless you in it. He will give you fruit in it. Not everybody's called to preach. You wouldn't want it. If you think you would, you wouldn't. You're not a candidate. If you think, well, I'd like to be the preacher and get up there, you don't know the half of it. But I love it. But I'd have never chose me. But that's what God wanted. And He'll make you happy in it. Amaziah was willing. The Bible says, isn't this sad? The Bible says that he reigned 29 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Can you imagine 29 years of your life to do right, but God said his heart wasn't right? David was called. You remember that story in the Bible? Amaziah was just the son of a son of a son of the king, and it fell upon him, and he was willing, and he did it. But David, God saw a little shepherd boy out in the field playing a harp, looking up in the sky, and all he seen was God. And he had a heart that beat, his heart beat after God. And Samuel the prophet went down to Jesse's house, and he went through all the sons. He said, I know God sent me down here to anoint one of your sons to be the next king over Israel. Jesse, don't you have any other sons anywhere? Well, yeah, there's David. Who'd want David? David's out with the sheep. He's a little red-faced kid. Nobody. Get David in here. He's the one. He was called by God to be the king. There's a difference between just doing right with a perfect heart. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.